is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our 4-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99, and our 2-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.
Welcome to another episode of Locked On Bowls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. I'm Sean Hyken of The Athletic. With me, as always, Cody Westerlund of 670 The Score. You can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, Audioboom, TuneIn, Google Play, anywhere else that you can find podcasts. Make sure you subscribe, leave us a 5-star review, tell your friends to subscribe, and check out the other podcasts in the Locked On Podcast Network as well. You can find us on Twitter at Locked On Bowls, like us on Facebook at Locked On Bowls, and if your company is interested in advertising to men between the ages of 18 and 54, then your company should be advertising right here on our show. Our audience is 95% men, and 78% of our audience is between the ages of 18 and 44. Recent surveys have shown that podcast listeners are 65% more willing to consider purchasing products they learned about from podcasts, and 60%, given equal price and quality, prefer to purchase from companies that advertise in their favorite podcasts. Our rates are very reasonable, so make sure you email us at lockedonbulls@gmail.com. So, Cody, I think we're just forced to assume that the Bulls are never going to lose a home TNT game again. Is that just kind of the way it is now?
Well, if they can beat the 50-11 Warriors, I honestly think anything's possible for this team when you get that Thursday magic going. That is 18 consecutive wins for the Bulls on TNT Thursdays at the United Center. Jason Pat, our friend of FanRag Sports, NBA editor, informs me that there's a Tuesday TNT win in there too during the streak.
So it's actually
no
19.
Other Tuesday losses.
So it's
so
actually 19.
If you want to expand it, that can be 19, but there's no doubt the Bulls shine under the bright lights. This time, a 94-87 win over the Warriors, who were playing their first game without Kevin Durant since he suffered the knee injury the other night, and Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, couldn't hit hardly the broadside of a barn in shooting a combined 3 of 22 on three-pointers and 15 of 49 for the field. And their facial expressions, they were just in disbelief as these rattled in and out.
I think everybody was in disbelief. These were shots, and I think tomorrow when all this is up on Synergy, I'm going to go back and look through all of their actual shot attempts, but I'm pretty sure that at least over half of them were wide open looks that just rimmed in, and like they looked like they were going to go in, and they just rimmed out. And it's like, I feel like that only happened because this game was on TNT, and if this game wasn't on TNT, at least half of those looks would have gone in, and this would have been a blowout.
This is like, there's like voodoo or something.
It's
here.
So
like, I mean, Klay Thompson. Look, the Bulls played good defense. That should be noted, but Klay Thompson, like, in and out, in and out, in and out.
This is two of the five best shooters in NBA history.
Well, Fred Hoiberg said before the game, he was asked, is Steph Curry the best shooter in NBA history? And he kind of thought for a second, like, and goes, yeah, that's hard to argue that anyone else is better. And Steph's never shot really well at the United Center. Like, he's always struggled from three-point land, at least. And I believe he's on record a year ago or so, according to some Bay Area reporters, saying he always thought the rims at the United Center were a little tight, a little different maybe. And I think Klay might share that same opinion. But 87 points for the Warriors this fourth quarter.
This is the fewest points they gave up in the season, by the way.
Yes, and they held the Warriors to 14 points in the fourth quarter on 6 of 23 shooting. Steph Curry, 3 of 10 for the field. The Bulls had only had 15 points themselves in the fourth quarter. At one point, they played like six and a half minutes in the fourth quarter and only had 5 points in the quarter. And still, they were right there against a team that, I mean, this is a team that's very much like the 73 win team of a year ago. You know, without Durant, they're still remarkable, leading the league. And
I can't explain it. I know there was a little bit of an emotional, like, you know, they just lost Durant. They don't know for how long. Obviously, that injury ended up not being as serious as people thought, but they still are without Durant, and that's a huge part of their offense. But still, like, even if you don't, this is just how ridiculously stacked this team is. If they don't have Kevin Durant, okay, they still have three other All-Stars. They still have three of the 15 best players in the league. They've got two, like I said, the two of the five best shooters in the history of basketball. Like, this is a game that, even without Durant, this is a game they should win. This is a more talented team than the Bulls. But, you know, Bobby Portis on national TV was just too much for him tonight.
So Bobby Portis was one of many reasons. 17 and 13 for Bobby in 32 minutes, and I haven't looked it up, but that's got to be close to a season high in minutes for Bobby. If not, I'd probably be willing to go out and say it's a season high of meaningful minutes for Bobby. And look, he looked good. Look, this is the Bobby Portis the Bulls drafted. And I don't just mean because, again, he shot 50% from the field at 17 and 13 and was hustling on the boards. Like, he got easy looks because he sprinted down court a couple times and got those buckets that matter for the Bulls. Because, look, we know the Bulls can struggle offensively for long stretches, especially when Jimmy's on the bench or a team is taking Jimmy away. So anything Bobby Portis can do to get the Bulls easy buckets, a really big deal, because buckets are not always easy for them to come by. So I thought Bobby was great. Did anything in particular stand out to you, Sean? Before the game, I asked Fred Hoiberg, you know, what is it about a game against a team of this caliber that you can learn something about the youngsters? And he wasn't too specific, but he kept referencing, like, he just wants to see them be solid, because being consistent against a team of the Warriors' caliber is a big deal.
Yeah, and I mean, Bobby certainly rose to the occasion. I thought one of my pet causes, Paul Zipser, in his first game back in around a month since that he had the ankle injury against the Warriors, he was solid. He hit that three-pointer late. You know, he had a couple of, you know, blown defensive rotations, but I thought he overall played solid. And he's the kind of guy, like, his numbers are never going to be spectacular, but he's the kind of guy who's feels like he's always in the right place and not, you know, playing outside of himself.
Look, the Bulls got a little lucky with, you mentioned, blown defensive rotations. There was some real confusion among the Bulls, and specifically, I think, when some of those youngsters were on the court, with the Warriors' back cuts and, like, the Warriors taking out their big man from the paint and opening that completely up and then slashing a guard behind him or off the screen. And the Bulls got lucky in a couple cases there. But part of that, too, has to be realized that the Bulls were extending their defense and not necessarily running the Warriors off the three-point line, because they still shot 30 three-pointers, but the Bulls were so focused on that three-point line that leaves some space open. And again, when you do the Steph Curry, Draymond Green high pick and roll, that makes hard choices, a double team, rotating defense, so I can see how those backdoor cuts happen. And the Warriors had trouble corralling a couple, missed a couple layups. Robin Lopez had a terrific block on one. The Bulls recovered on a few more. So I thought good steps defensively by the Bulls. The Warriors shot 38.6%. The Bulls had their worst defensive month in February. The Zipser part you bring up, Hoiberg referenced just him. I mean, he's 6'8", and his ability to switch on a pick and roll is helpful. And they didn't have that for, what, seven games when he was out? So, yes, I thought that mattered for them. But, again, this is just – I just shake my head at some of this. Like, how do the Bulls do this? They keep rising to the occasion. They're 15 and 13 this year against teams above 500, 16 and 17 against teams below 500, which is just absurd.
Yeah, and Dwayne Wade talked about this after the game. I kind of like the way he put it. Basically, you need to take some of these reasons, because if you look at, they've out of their last five wins, obviously they lost to Denver the other day, but their last five wins, four of them were against Golden State, Toronto, Boston, Cleveland, who are four of the best teams in the NBA, and they've got the Clippers coming up. But, like, he said basically you need to take the way that they've played against these good teams and take some, as he put it, ingredients from those wins and sprinkle it into some of these other games where, you know, they're playing a team like Phoenix where they needed overtime to come back and win, or a team like Denver where they lost. Like, these teams that aren't as good, and then they, you know, they struggle against those teams. But, I mean, that's just kind of been the story with the Bulls all season.
Yeah, and it kind of makes me laugh, too, because Dwayne Wade didn't know about this streak, he said, that the TNT Thursday, that the TNT Magic, until, remember when he was sick right before the All-Star break, he stayed home and watched, and Jimmy made two free throws with 1 second left against the Celtics on a bailout call to win the game, which was probably the most harrowing win of the entire streak, in the sense that
it was
without the late whistle, the streak was over. But D. Wade was just saying, like, you know, bright lights, the Bulls rise to the occasion, and he cited the fear of knowing that you can be embarrassed so easily by a really good team on national television is really a motivator, which I thought was interesting.
I also like that Dwayne got a little bit of trash talk in, because he made sure to point out that the last team to beat the Bulls at home on TNT was the Miami Heat in 2013 during their second championship season.
January 21st, I believe.
No, it was February.
I saw what it was. No, I got it right here on my thing, I'm pretty sure. We'll go back and check, but it's It's been a lot of days.
Yeah.
Is the best way to
almost,
put it.
And, either almost or over 4 years.
And
over
it's, 4 years. It's incredible. Jimmy Butler won't talk about it. Steve Kerr swears that it's an NBA record in and of itself. And Steve Kerr is a TNT analyst, former TNT analyst.
Former TNT analyst, former himself. Bulls legend with his own history of Bulls big moments in this arena.
That's very true. He was name-dropping Bulls and opposing foes.
He even had Sam Smith fooled with some of these names he was dropping.
Yeah, we're going to have to go back and look up the answer to his trivia question here. But he was asking, what was it, first basket ever at the United Center history, I think, was what, was that what he was asking?
I'll have to go back and listen to the tape.
Yeah, it was like Larry Krystowiak or something. Or,
it was not anybody famous.
Or a name I'd never heard, so we'll check that too. But I want to let you know that today's podcast is brought to you by SeatGeek, which is the smartest, easiest way to find tickets for the basketball, baseball, football games, whatever sporting event you want to see up close and in person this season. There's nothing like being in the stadium for the biggest plays of the year. And with SeatGeek, it's never been easier to get the guaranteed seats you want for a great value. I have the SeatGeek app on my phone. It's by far the easiest way I found to shop for tickets. You can be anywhere, anytime, with just a few taps. Instantly find seats for this weekend or any games this season. With SeatGeek, you always get the best deal on every ticket because SeatGeek price compares for you by searching multiple ticket sites. Prices vary depending on where you shop, but SeatGeek will always find the lowest available price for you. SeatGeek wants to help you get the most bang for your buck, too, so that's why every ticket on SeatGeek is given a great score based on value. You'll immediately see any underpriced seats and be able to find the best deals that fit your budget. Plus, every ticket you buy on SeatGeek, 100% back guarantee. So shop with confidence there. Here's what we need our Locked On Bulls listeners to do. Go download the SeatGeek app. Click on Add a Promo Code and enter promo code LOBULLS, just how it sounds, LOBULLS, and SeatGeek will send you $20 after you've made your first ticket purchase. Download the SeatGeek app today and enter the promo code LOBULLS. What else stood out in this game to you, Sean? Any of the young guys? I mean, Jimmy was really good again. 22 points. Got to the hoop. He got to the hoop again.
He got to the foul line. We were kind of pointing out because he was averaging 9.6 free throw attempts per game before the All-Star break, which is, you know, the most of his career. That was, you know, something he really added to his game this year. He was really, you know, getting to the line, and that was being really effective for the Bulls. In their first three games since the All-Star break, he only had 8 total free throw attempts. Tonight he had 10, which, I mean, it's a little bit encouraging. We were talking to Jimmy after the Denver game the other day about how he's kind of in a slump and he needs to get back in his rhythm. He looked pretty good tonight, 22 points on 14 shots, got to the foul line 10 times. This was kind of, he didn't have like the crazy point total like some of, you know, those 40-point games he had earlier in the season or those 30-point games. But this kind of looked closer to the Jimmy Butler of the first half of the season than what we've seen the last week or so.
Yeah, and we don't say this enough, but he also started the game on Klay Thompson and guarded Klay Thompson for long stretches of the game. And I need to remind you that Klay Thompson had 13 points on 5 of 22 shooting, 1 of 11 on three-pointers. Like, we take this for granted sometimes, what Jimmy does on the defensive end. It's absolutely sensational. And I think we need to get that because what he does is amazing. And to still be able to come up with the big offensive plays, it's just the maturation process of him. I mean, we're looking at, he's all NBA, I think.
Oh, without question.
Top 15, and he's probably second team all NBA.
I think at this point, I'd put him second team. Although, you know what? You know what's kind of interesting is the Durant injury kind of changes things because it's like, you know, before that, before the Durant injury, it's pretty clear like the two first team all NBA forwards are going to be Durant and LeBron. Now I feel like, you know, with Durant missing at least 4 weeks, he's probably not first team. I feel like he's been good enough. He has to make one of the All-NBA teams. But I feel like now Kawhi Leonard is going to be on first team. And then, you know, after the DeMarcus Cousins trade, now I feel like Anthony Davis is a forward, whereas maybe before he would have been considered center. But regardless, I think it's pretty clear that Jimmy has been, he's been so good. He's been so good at both ends of the floor. Like you said, he guarded Klay Thompson tonight. He guarded Isaiah Thomas in that game before the All-Star break. He guarded Kyle Lowry and DeMar DeRozan in the fourth quarter in the Toronto game. Like, he always guards the other team's best player and does this on the offensive end. And he's, like, as we've said many times, he's the only reason this Bulls team is even sniffing a playoff spot. And they're in sixth place in the East right now, basically because of how good Jimmy Butler is. So, yeah, I think he's, without question, an All-NBA caliber
guy. And you could you could see Klay get more frustrated as the game went, too, which is probably an underrated aspect of what Jimmy does. It's like almost a self-fulfilling prophecy in some ways for opponents. If Jimmy Butler's guarding them and they start out bad, they might press.
Yeah, and our buddy Vinny Goodwill from CSN made an interesting point on Twitter during the game, which is that there is a noticeable difference. He made this point about Steph, but that, you know, I think it applies to Klay a little. There is a noticeable difference in their body language when their shot is falling versus when it's not.
Yeah.
Which I thought was an interesting thing to point out.
Do you think that makes a difference, how emotional the Warriors are? Do you think that could bite them against the Cavs in a potential NBA Finals rematch? Because they do play with their emotion on their sleeves. I mean, Steve Kerr, who is just one of the most thoughtful and entertaining coaches in the NBA, broke a clipboard in this game out of frustration.
Well, and, you know.
And, I mean, it comes from everywhere.
The finals
I mean?
Last year got swung because Draymond Green got suspended for kicking somebody. And, you know, yep. Even the kicking somebody, the reason that he got suspended was because he was at the threshold of technical fouls, which he got, you know, for some of them for kind of silly reasons. So this is just kind of something that they have to live with. And they just, as their Kevin Durant short-term stopgap replacement, they just signed Matt Barnes, who kind of has a reputation of his own in that regard.
That's very true. So they have enough toughness. They just need to make sure they play at a really high level. And when they don't play at a really high level, at least control their emotions to gut out some more games at the highest level.
I have one other thing I want to point out as far as like from the Bulls' end on this game. They really put a lot in terms of like the distribution of minutes. Really, most of it when it comes to the point guard minutes. You know, we've been talking all week about how they're going to juggle these point guard minutes. Most of it down the stretch was just Wade and Jimmy out there. Because, I mean, if you look at these minutes for the actual point guards, Jaren Grant, who started, played 13 minutes and 19 seconds. Rajon Rondo, sixth man, coming off the bench, 12 minutes, 49 seconds. Cameron Payne, 12 minutes, 48 seconds. So, like, the point guards who are actually in name by position point guards played a combined 36 minutes. And then you look at, you know, the minutes that Wade and Butler played, they were really the ones handling the ball and initiating the offense down the stretch. Yeah, so I thought that was kind of interesting.
Yeah, the Bulls went a little bigger there down the stretch. Obviously, Jimmy getting those point guard minutes. Jaren Grant, two things. One, he's on the Keith Bogans plan, where he plays the first 6 minutes of the first and third quarter, basically, first 7 minutes maybe. And then he comes out of the game and they don't let him play again, which, again, he's shooting the ball very, very well. He got to shoot the ball twice tonight. And he had clearly his most memorable NBA highlight, I believe. And
Shakes.
It was the play that we realized TNT Bulls was alive and well on this night.
Oh, yeah. And you and I were sitting next to each other in the press box, and there were like these four different moments. There was that, this Jaren Grant, he shakes Steph Curry off.
Crossed him over.
And then hits a three. Basically the kind of thing that Steph does on a regular basis to people.
Yeah, like Steph was on skates for a split second there.
Yeah.
And Jaren Grant just drills it, gets pumped up, and you're like, this is really going to happen. They're going to beat the Warriors.
There was so much little weird stuff that happened. That shot clock buzzer beating shot by Paul Zipser at the end. There was one time that Nico beats, I forget who was defending, it might have been JaVale, which almost doesn't count, but like you got, you know, he beat his defender off the dribble from the 3-point line and then drives in for an uncontested layup. And, you know, there was a stretch where Rondo scored like 6 points in a row, including some pretty aggressive drives to the basket. He hit two free throws. Like, this is just like, it's not just that, you know, the Bulls win these TNT games, it's that they always win with some weird shenanigans or something. There was, you know, a couple of years ago against Oklahoma City, there was that Etwan Moore game winner that, you know, when Russell Westbrook had that insane game. You know, in the Celtics game a couple weeks ago, there was a weird foul call against Marcus Smart that put the game away for the Bulls. And then tonight, like again, two of the five best shooters in NBA history shot a combined 3 for 22 from 3-point range. That's, so weird stuff happens.
It is incredible. There's no doubt about that. The Bulls, with their win, got Friday off. That's the reward you get.
Yeah.
For beating the best team in the league. Did want to clear up a couple things. Yes, you were right, February 21st, 2013.
Yeah.
And it's Larry Krzyzkowiak, the first bucket in United Center history. Opened in 94 for the 94-95 season. Steve Kerr coming at you with trivia that probably won't win you anything in the city of Chicago, but if it is a Final Jeopardy question, I suppose, mark that one down. You'll get it. But the Bulls, back to above 500 at 31-30. doing what they do best, and that is never being boring, I think.
They're not boring.
They always have something for you, and this was, I think the sky's the limit. They got a TNT Thursday game coming up, I think March 30th, 3 weeks, 4 weeks
against
maybe,
the Cavs.
Against the Cavs, and again, like, you just can't make these things up. I mean, they've owned the Cavs, too, this year. They've just owned them, so this streak has a real chance to live on into, like, a sixth year or something, fifth or sixth year, the way it's going, but I find this to be maybe the most amusing stat in the NBA right
now.
Oh,
this is hilarious. This needs to be Tom Haberstroh's next big number, except that it's ESPN.
Yeah, that's true. But, like, Sean and I don't listen to the national broadcast, obviously. And as much as I love watching basketball, I'm usually not one to go back and watch a Bulls game a second time when I've already watched it once.
This one might be worth a rewatch.
Specifically looking for it. So, yeah, I guess they've really embraced it on TNT as well now. 19 straight on TNT at home. 18 of them on Thursday nights for the Bulls. Just bring the United Center to their feet. They got a standing ovation late in the game, and we haven't heard.
Which is the exact opposite. They got booed off the court against Denver the other day.
Yeah, a lot of booing this year. And we'll have to see what happens Saturday, because to cue you in on this a little bit, we'll bring it to you with the post-Saturday podcast as well. There's supposed to be a small movement of fire guard packs organized at Saturday's game by a few fans, I believe, a young college student. Several dozen fans supposed to be there in fire guard packs, T-shirts, and starting chants on Saturday at the United Center. No idea if it will come to fruition, but it could create a really interesting dynamic in the United Center. Especially if the Bulls are playing well, it's going to be weird. And if they're not playing well, we'll see how big this this movement, this little uprising is.
Right, and they're playing the Clippers, who just got Chris Paul back. Like, they're at full strength now, and that's a really good team.
Yeah, this is a tough stretch for the Bulls, and they are handling it in spectacular fashion so far. Losing to the sub-500 Nuggets, hanging on barely against the awful Suns, and beating
the Warriors
in the NBA, Warriors and Cavs, since the All-Star break. And it's just a roller coaster ride, as always, that you can follow on Twitter. Follow Sean at Hyken. Follow myself at Cody Westrom. We're on Twitter and Facebook with Locked On Bulls, so please check us out there. Email us with basketball questions, advertising inquiries at LockedOnBulls@gmail.com. Most of all, please subscribe to the podcast.
That's right. You can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, Audioboom, TuneIn, Google Play, Podbean, anywhere else that you can find podcasts. Whatever your favorite app is, you can go find us, search Locked On Bulls, subscribe, leave us a 5-star review on iTunes. That's really important. And then check out the other podcasts in the Locked On Podcast Network as well, and tell your friends to subscribe. We've got Locked On NBA, Locked On NFL, Locked On Fantasy Football, Locked On Fantasy Basketball, Locked On NFL Draft, the draft coming up in a couple months. And, you know, if you have friends who are fans of any NBA or NFL team, we've got a Locked On podcast on the network for you. So until next time, thanks for listening to Locked On Bulls. Take it easy.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our 4-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99. And our 2-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.